Well, amen. Preacher was right when he said that my knees were knocking and I'm nervous. It's been a whole year since I've been able to preach, and it's such a blessing. And it's a blessing to be able to share with my church family. It's such a blessing to be back amongst you again after all this long time. And God has been so good, so very good. We're going to be in the book of 1 Timothy, if you want to find that spot. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. From the time we were 3 years old on up, my parents had us pray that prayer every night as we were getting tucked in for bed. A little bit later on, as I grew up, got up along toward fifth grade or something like that. I don't remember exactly when. I decided I'd kind of like to go to church. I'd been going to Sunday school faithfully all those years. Decided I'd like to try out church in the same church that I was in Sunday school in. So I went, and I enjoyed it. And I learned that it was no different there, because there we did this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Oh, they added to it other things like the Apostles' Creed and sang the doxology and things of that sort in the church that I was in. 17 years after I got saved, I walked through the doors of a Baptist church for the first time. I was a little bit leery because everybody was carrying a Bible under their arm. I mean, don't they know that's kind of braggadocio type stuff? You know, what in the world are they carrying it right out in public for anyway? And after the sermon, I'd gotten acquainted with the preacher beforehand through my business. And afterward, I was talking with him, and I said, "You didn't do the Lord's Prayer. You didn't do the Apostles' Creed." And he said, "Son, sit down with me here for a minute." And he set me down in the pew in the back there after everybody was gone. And he opened up his Bible, and he showed me where this is in Matthew chapter 6. And he said, "You see that? That's where they get it from. But go back up two verses before that, to chapter 6 and verse 7, and read that." And I read it, and it said, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do." In this politically correct society today, you don't call anybody heathen, or you might lose your job or whatever else, you know. Let me read it again. "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." And I learned then that prayer was not just repeating what someone else had written. I still didn't know a whole lot about it. It took years and years. And here I am now, how many years later? I hate to say over 50 years, 60 years later. And I'm still learning. And I'm still learning something about prayer. If you haven't figured it out yet, we're going to be talking about prayer a little bit tonight. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2. I'm sorry, chapter 2 and verse 1. I'm getting myself turned around here. I must have that problem, dyslexia, I think they call it, right? Chapter 2, verse 1, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." This is the Apostle Paul teaching his preacher boy Timothy as God told him what to say. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God Don't ever make a mistake about it. When we say Paul wrote, we mean he was the secretary. And he wrote what God said to write. And so he wrote this to Timothy. He's trying to help him settle into the ministry. Timothy had followed along with Paul for quite a while there, and he'd learned an awful lot, but he still had a lot to learn. And this book of 1 Timothy is a powerful book. It's a fascinating book to me. And I like this verse 1 of chapter 2 because it talks about prayer. And perhaps you're in the same boat that I was for many years. Prayer is prayer. Our Father which is in heaven, huh? Or something like that, you know. Lord, please bless this meal. Amen. Lord, Joe's got a health problem. Bless him. Lord, Pete over here needs to get a new job. He got laid off. Help him. And we go on from there, and we just are kind of casual about it, if you will. Now, God, through the Apostle Paul, here gives instructions that there are four different kinds of prayer. And we're going to look at the four different kinds of prayer that he's talking about here in this passage of Scripture. And he says, I exhort, therefore, because of things that went before, he said, I'm exhorting you. I'm challenging you. And so I challenge you tonight. Preaching is challenging. By the way, if you didn't understand that, when a fellow teaches, he's giving information. When he preaches, he's trying to convict somebody to respond to that information that he's gotten. And so Paul says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications. What in the world are supplications? How are they different from the other three things? Supplications are petitions for mercy. For me. Each one of us. For us personally. Asking God, begging God, not just casually saying, Lord, I need a job. I'll trust you to give it to me. Yeah. That doesn't work. I'm sorry. That doesn't work. You need to get with the program and talk to God like he wants you to talk. Oh, I forgot to say that, didn't I? Do you know what prayer is? I've said it here before, and you might remember, and some of you haven't heard me before, but prayer is simply talking to God. Back when I was a young lad, I had a daddy who was pretty strict. He warmed the britches whenever I did wrong. And he praised me whenever I did right. And he was a man of character, and he tried to raise me to have character. And we'd go fishing, or we'd go hunting, or whatever. And I mean, that was always a counseling time. That was always a teaching and a training time. And I enjoyed my times with my dad. I didn't learn about this till years later, but from the time that I got saved at the age of 10, and I was genuinely saved, I've never one time in my lifetime since that night have I ever doubted my salvation. Thank God he not only saved me, but he gave me assurance in my heart of my salvation. And I know if I drop dead right here tonight, it might surprise you, but I'd be happy in heaven. Amen. Glory to God. But I learned over the years of being in church, being in adult Sunday school, and being in the preaching service, and doing other things, and learning and growing, I learned that God is not just some stranger sitting up there in heaven. He's my Father. And just as I was able to sit and discuss with my earthly Father, I'm able to sit and discuss with my Heavenly Father. That's called commonly praying. That's all praying is just talking to the one who is closer than all others could ever possibly be. I was close to my Father, but I wasn't as close with him as I am now, after all these years, as I am now with my Heavenly Father. But supplications are asking God for personal help. Lord, I need help. You remember the Apostle Peter? They were in this little boat going out across the Sea of Galilee, and the storm came up. And boy, it was kind of rough. And the apostles looked out, and they said, what's that? Somebody's walking out there on the water? And they got scared. And it was Jesus, and he said, it's I, do not be afraid. And Peter, what did he say? He said, Lord, if it's you, command me and let me come out there and walk with you. Right. Jesus said, come on ahead. And so old Peter, he jumped off the out of the boat and he went walking on the water, didn't he? Right. He believed God because Jesus is God. He believed God and great things were done. And when he got out there a little ways, he got to thinking, this isn't kosher. This ain't the way it ought to be. I'm walking on water. It's deep down there too. And he got his eyes off Jesus.
There you go. Come on.
And he started to sink.
Amen.
And down he went. What did he do? Did he say, oh, Heavenly Father, please lift me up out of this watery grave? No, he didn't. He said, Lord, help me, I'm sinking.
Amen.
He called on him fervently. A fervent prayer. Amen. Folks, that's what supplication is. When I have trouble, I have to go to God. And I have to let him know I really mean business.
Amen.
Not just this formal business, but I need to let him know that I really am depending on him. And I'm going to go to him rather than to my family, to my friends, to my worldly acquaintances. I need to go to my Father when I have a problem.
Amen.
It says in James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When you're sick, you get COVID-19, you have a heart attack, something happens, do you get scared? If you don't, you got something wrong with you. I get scared when things go wrong with me. That's the time to call on the Lord. That's supplication, calling on the Lord for something I need. And you can go down through the list. You can make a list as good or better than I can make a list, and so I won't take the time to go into all of that, but make supplication to God for your own personal needs. He goes on here, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers. I did a little research on this, and I find that prayers are when you're loving on God. Prayers are when you're recognizing God for who he is. You've heard the term devotions. I write a devotion every now and then and put on Facebook, a little short devotion. And those devotions are designed to get people to love God.
Amen.
And to recognize God for who he is, to, catch this word, to reverence.
Amen.
God. You know, a lot of churches, they make their pastor to be Reverend so-and-so. Well, the scripture doesn't like that sort of thing. God says that not to be. God is the one who is to be reverenced. And I think about old Moses. You remember Moses when God called him way back here in the book of Exodus chapter 3?
Yeah.
As Moses came up to that burning bush, he's out in the desert and here's a bush and it's on fire, but it's not being consumed. And he thought, what in the world's going on? I'm going to go over and check that thing out. And he went on over there and out of the bush came this voice, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he, that was God. And he said, draw not thy hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. The problem with churches and Christians today is that we've become casual about our acquaintance, our time with God, our relationship with God. We've become casual in so many things in America today, haven't we? We really have, and that's where all this political correctness comes from, is from a casualness toward God. But we Christians are the ones who are the most guilty, and we take God for granted, and we don't stop to think about who he is, what he's done, where he's come from, where he's going, what is he doing with me, and we need to reverence him. We need to make supplication to God for personal needs. And we need to pray to God in a devotional way, recognizing him as the creator. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. Can you imagine that? God created man in his own image. Male and female created he them. Listen to me now. He's somebody special. He's not just a fellow that we go once a week to hear a little bit about. But he is God. And he's the creator. He's the sustainer of his creation. He's the coming judge. Oh, we don't think about that very often, do we? You know, when we think about judgment, most times I think we think of the great white throne judgment. Boy, that guy who is mean to me, he's going to get his comeuppance. I'll tell you what, these politicians who are out there lying and cheating and taking our tax money when they shouldn't and wasting it, they're going to get their comeuppance when God gets hold of them. Wait just a minute. He's our coming judge too. Oh, we're not going to be judged for our sins. We've already been judged for our sins. When Jesus was nailed on the cross at Calvary and the blood flowed out of his veins, he was fulfilling the Old Testament law requirement for sin. The law required death for sin. It required a blood sacrifice for sin. And Jesus, as he hung on that cross, he said, "It is finished." All of that Old Testament law was completed. The necessity for the blood sacrifice was done for me. On that day in March of 1950, when I accepted Christ as Savior, all of my sins were washed away in the blood of the cross. My past sins, my present sins, my future sins. I have things I haven't even dreamt up yet. I haven't even done them yet. They're already forgiven. That's what eternal life means. That's what everlasting life means. It's all done. It's all washed away. Are you properly thankful to God for that? Are you recognizing what he's done and how great he is? 1 Chronicles 29:11 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And it says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted above all." That's what prayers are about. Supplications, asking for something for me. Prayers, recognizing who God is and letting him know that you know who he is and why you know he's that. Be specific and you're praying. This is important. Third thing it says here is intercessions. Well, that's an easy one to understand. We can understand that word intercessions. It's praying for needs of other people. Look at verse 2. "For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Interceding. According to that last verse I just read there, think about that. Interceding for the unsaved. Have you ever thought about that? We get challenged by the preacher to go out soul winning, knock on doors, talk to people about Jesus, try to win them to Christ. Have you ever thought about praying, really, sincerely praying for them to get saved? Now, stop and think about it. During this quarantine time that we've been through for this last year, it's been hard to get out and knock on doors and talk to strangers. They don't want to open the door for you. You don't necessarily want to get too close to them because you don't know what they've got, okay? But you know what? My next door neighbor, maybe I'm not going to go talk to him right now because of this, but I can still pray for him. I can go into my prayer closet and get on my face before God and I can beg God, "Listen to me now praying." Ought to be begging God, amen? Praising him with the right kind of thing, but you need to be begging God also, interceding, begging God. "Oh, Lord, Pete over here is a good guy. And every now and then when I'm a little late with it, he'll come over and he'll mow my grass for me. Or he'll do this for me. He'll do that for me. He's always waving to me when he sees me outside. He's such a nice guy, but he's lost. He's never trusted Christ as Savior. I've tried to talk to him several times, and he just doesn't want to have anything to do with it. So what can I do? I can get on my face before God. Oh, God. Oh, God. You're a merciful God. You're a gracious God. Won't you touch his heart somehow? If he won't listen to me, can you bring someone else by to talk to him that he will listen to? If he won't listen to any of us, can you break his leg or something? So he ends up in the hospital and someone gets him when he's down on his back in bed and hurting and scared and frightened about things, when his heart is more tender and open. Nothing wrong with praying that way. leave it to God to do however he wants to do. But pray for the person. Pray for people by name. Don't just say, Lord, please save souls. That's the way the casual Christian does. And that's a good thought, but that doesn't go far enough. I pray for so-and-so. Lord, save him, save her, save him, save her. Be specific. Name who they are. Name why they need to be saved. How do I know that they're lost and without Christ as Savior? Matthew 7:20 says, for by their fruits ye shall know them. Yeah, we're judges. We judge, don't we? We have to judge. That's part of the Christian life. You have to judge to see if somebody needs help or not. When that old lady falls down crossing the intersection, you have to look at it and say, well, let's see. I wonder if she can get up by herself. I wonder if she's all right. No, you go out there, you judge. She needs help. You're judging all the time. Don't let these people who say, judge not. Don't let them bother you and hold you back. Judge your friends, your neighbors, your family members. Judge them and determine from what their life is, if they're saved or if they're lost, and then ask God, beg God to touch their hearts and save them, and don't give up on them. I've heard of people praying for a loved one for 20, 30, 40 years with no fruit, and then all of a sudden, they get saved. God works wonderful things in his time. Supplications, asking for things for myself. Prayers, recognizing and acknowledging who God is and how great he is. And then intercessions, praying for others, those who are sick. You get a prayer list here on Wednesday night. Pray for those people on the list. Don't just say, Lord, here's my list. I pray for them. Put the list away. But pray for them by name. Amen. Pray for your missionaries. Amen. When preacher tells missionary so-and-so is having such a hard time doing this or that, another thing, he's having a hard time, he needs to get entrance into China before his visa expires, pray for him specifically. Amen. And pray for him and pray for him and pray for him and pray for him. Don't just say, Lord, help him, and then forget all about it. That's not interceding for that person, you see? Intercession is really working at it. Next thing it says is the matter of giving thanks. This one we're good at. This one we're good at up to a point. We're talking about thanking God for blessings already received. I think back, get a little personal here for a second or two. Back in 1972, 48, 49 years ago now, my Patty had her first bout with serious health problems, which she had from then on until she passed away. And she was in the hospital for 42 days. She had four major surgeries. Everything in her system shut down. They had her on life support. And after several days on life support, the doctor came to me and he said, son, this is no good. Give us permission to take the machines off and let her go. And I looked at him, I said, sir, we're Christians. Amen. And if God wants her to die, he'll take her, whether you got machines on her or not. I said, we'll wait and see. And I went into the chapel and got on my face before God, along with my mother-in-law, Patty's mom, and we prayed, and we prayed, and we begged God. And 2 days later, she was walking the hallways. 48 years later, she's won dozens and dozens of people to Christ. She's taught Sunday school classes. She's taught in women's conferences. She did so many different things. She sat by bedsides when people were dying and when they were sick and held their hand as they went. I thank God. That's that last one, is thanks. I thank God for his prolonging her life to help me and for all the others that she touched. Giving thanks is for blessings that we've already received. And giving thanks, and I kind of want to touch on this a bit heavier, giving thanks for God allowing us to have fellowship with him. Picture this. The one who created everything out of nothing. Everything. All of the heavens, the stars, the sun, the moon, the planet, the plant life, the animal life, the human life, He created it all. He designed it all. Think about it. Think of the human body. What a complex structure it is. He did that. And he lets me walk with him and talk with him throughout the day. It boggles my mind. It boggles my mind. That's called fellowship, don't you see? God wants us to fellowship with him. 1 John 1:3 says, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship is a joining together of the souls of two or more people. Your soul cannot join together with an unsaved person, because fellowship is a spiritual thing. It's spiritual even with unsaved people. I could go hunting with someone and have spiritual fellowship with him on the subject of hunting. Or I could go to a ball game and have spiritual fellowship with him on that level. But I cannot have spiritual fellowship with him like we could have as we discuss the things of the Word of God. And as we discuss the things that God has done in our lives and has promised to do later on in our lives. Fellowship is a very special thing. And stop and think about it. I enjoy fellowship with my fellow Christians. That's why I'm so glad to finally get back into church. I have not missed a service this whole time that I haven't been here. I've watched it on YouTube. Thank the Lord for YouTube and for this church being able to put it on YouTube. I never missed a service, but it's not the same. And those of you who are watching on YouTube right now, it's not the same. And as soon as you can, you need to get back in here. When I came back last Sunday for the first time, what a blessing it was to my heart to be able to see my brothers and sisters in Christ and spend time with you. And even though I'm still having to be careful because I'm having health problems yet, it's so good to be here. I just praise the Lord for what he's done and what he's doing in my life. I want you to turn with me. I'm letting you be lazy here tonight and haven't had you turning back and forth. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? We have nothing in common with unsaved people in the important things of life. We can have things in common concerning our activities. You ladies like to go shopping. You might go shopping with a friend who's unsaved. You might go out to eat with a friend who's unsaved. We guys, we might go hunting or fishing or something like that with someone who's unsaved. But it's not the same. And fellowship is so important. But stop and think about fellowship with God. How good it is to be together and have this sweetness of fellowship with each other. But how much greater to have fellowship with God. Some people say, well, I can hardly wait to get to heaven and have fellowship with God. No, no, no. Now is the time. Now is the time. Walk and talk with him now. Throughout the day. They say you can't have prayer in school. I'd like to see him stop me praying if I'm in school. I'm going to pray extra hard when test time comes, right? You can't stop praying. They may be able to stop you from praying out loud. But prayer is not necessarily out loud. In fact, Dr. Lee Robertson taught us when I was a student at Tennessee Temple, he said, these public prayers, by and large, are a big farce. Because you're putting on airs for the people who are hearing you. You're trying to think, let's see now, what should I say that will impress them about how spiritual I am? And he said, that's all right. We got to have prayer in public. But your real prayer time is when you're alone in your prayer closet. When you really let down your hair. And I let mine down a long time ago. But when you really get serious with God and you're fellowshipping with God, and as you drive around in your car and as you walk around or as you go, as you work or wherever you are, whatever you're doing, talk with God about everything. I remember Brother Dave Smith, who was He started a camp over in Letts, Iowa. You've never heard of Letts, I'm sure. Cedar River Baptist Camp. I helped to ordain him to the gospel ministry, and he started a camp there and just did a great job, and now he's out in Lexington, Kentucky. Can't remember the name of that church out there.
Fugate.
Brother Fugate's church, yeah. He's running the big camp there for him now. But the first time I got in a car with him to ride, we got in the car, we shut the door, we buckled up, and he bowed his head, and he started praying. I thought, oh, okay, it's prayer time.
Yeah.
And he prayed for safety as he drove.
Amen.
We got to where we were going, and he bowed his head, and he prayed, and he said, Lord, thank you for getting us safely here. That was a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
You and I can do the same thing.
Right.
As we walk and talk with God. The song says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. We had a little chorus that we taught to our kids, our bus kids and our Sunday school kids. It says, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Four different kinds of prayer. Good thing to think about when you're praying. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. Each one is different. What are you praying? Are you lumping them all together and being kind of casual in your prayer life? Or are you getting specific with God? I want to hear from God. I want to talk to him, and I want to hear him talk with me. When I read my Bible, he talks with me. But he also talks in that still small voice that the scripture talks about. And as I walk and talk with him, I listen for that still small voice. And it's absolutely amazing. The closer you get to God, how you're able to recognize when God is telling you, go here, don't go there, say this, don't say that. God will lead you in every step of your day if you're close to him, walking with him, spending time in prayer, really getting to know him and have fellowship with him. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. We don't comprehend it because we don't deserve it. We don't understand why you created. We don't understand why you maintain that creation and why you do so many wonderful things for us, Lord. It's beyond our comprehension. But we are knowing, we know that you're real and that you care, that you love us, and that you're walking with us, and you're allowing us to walk with you and to have fellowship with you. And Father, I pray that you'll bless our folks here tonight. This message, Lord, is one that's designed to be a challenge, not just to be an encouragement, not just to make people say, well, amen, that was good, brother. But it was designed by God himself, Lord, as you led me to write this sermon. It was your desire that people might draw closer to you, that they would understand about prayer, and that they would give themselves to walking and talking with you. Bless our folks now. Bless this invitation. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's stand together. Turn to page 370. I need thee every hour. If God is speaking to your heart, or even if he's not speaking to your heart that you recognize, but you recognize a need in your life and in your heart, Just leave your seat and come on down here and get right with God. Kneel down here at the altar or sit in the pew in the front. And anyway, give yourself to God that you can have sweet fellowship with Him. Come on.
I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice of Thine can peace afford. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour. Stay Thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when Thou art nigh. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, for life is vain. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee.